We're glad that you're here. Thank you for being with us this morning. And this is just kind of a special service today, to be honest with you. We're a little different. I'm not going to be teaching normal kind of thing or whatever, but just want to ask that as we're doing this morning, God, just be with us and ask God to be with us and speak through the people that are going to be sharing this morning. One of the things that God has been impressing on my heart is to think back to the mission that God has given us for His church. 12 and a half years ago, we started 24 Church, and 12 and a half years ago, God led us to do something that He's still leading us to do. He's still leading us to glorify Him. And He's still leading us, that as part of us doing that is to lead people to Him and to be disciples of Him. And so this morning, we're kind of taking that thought process of this understanding that we have as being called to a people, so to speak. If you look through Scripture, you see over and over people being called to people groups, especially a lot of them, that God may lead them to a place to love those people and to care for those people and be a light to those people and all of those things. And here's a truth for you this morning. This is a truth, not the truth. And a truth for us, for all of us this morning, is that we have all been called to a people. You go, Chris, I'm not called to people. I'm no missionary. I'm not moving anywhere, whatever. No. Part of that's not true. We are all missionaries. When we started 24 Church, the idea, the premise was that God was leading us to be missionaries to right here, to be missionaries to the people that God has placed around us. Our calling is to the people that God has put in our lives. Now, God may at some point along the way, like, move your heart and literally move your rear end somewhere else. He's completely capable of doing that and has done that. And I've gotten to be a recipient of that happening in my life before. But I'm telling you, God has led all of us and called all of us to people, and it's people that He's placed in our lives. And so if you're like me, sometimes you're like, Lord, why do You send me all the crazy people? Lord, why am I related to so many crazy people? Lord, why do I work with so many crazy people? Lord, why do I go to school with so many crazy people? Right? Well, guess what? That's your people. That's who God's called you to. This morning, we're going to talk about how God's calling us locally and globally and all this kind of stuff to people, to be a light, to love on others. And we're doing that this morning by having our folks who went to Uganda recently come and share. And just kind of to preface them coming, one of the things that you may not know about is that about a month ago, we had a group that went to be in Uganda with a group that we've already been supporting in some ways. And specifically, this is a group that runs a school, but this school is also an orphanage. Now, let me, because we hear words like that, and especially when we attach it to some other country or some other continent, I don't know that we really take into effect what that really means. These are children without parents. These are children without parents. And here's a cool piece of this puzzle. God has led us to build relationships with these folks. These folks that are leading this school and leading this orphanage love Jesus. And they want to teach these children to love Jesus. And we have opportunity to come alongside of them in ministry and help them to do what they're doing in some pretty fantastic ways. To be honest with you, very, very low on the totem pole of as far as like what would seem like on our end, like what we could do has huge, huge repercussions for what it means to them. We have a huge chance in front of us to continue to minister to them. The main purpose, one of the main purposes of the trip that they took was so that we could begin to have a better understanding of what that looks like. How can we better minister to these people? So as they come, they're going to share with us this morning. We're going to watch a video that's kind of just like a little quick snippet of kind of what their trip looked like in picture form and to music, whatever. But I'm going to ask them if they'd come. We're going to watch that video now. Let's do that. That's awesome, isn't it? Don't you love all the pictures of the flowers?
Come on now. African flowers.
I've been giving her a hard time about all the pictures of the flowers. When the slideshow's going, it's going flower, flower, shrub, flower, shrub, shrub, flower, flower, shrub.
It was a prayer garden, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, well, God made it. He's glorified in it. Hey, Well, thank you guys for coming up here and being willing to share with us this morning. We've got several things that I just want to kind of hear from you guys about today. Introduce yourselves just real fast who you are.
I'm Nancy Johnson.
I'm Chelsea Tindall.
Bruce Johnson.
Gus Johnson. Oscar.
And Oscar. And Gus and Oscar's favorite part of the trip was dressing like their mom and dad the entire time. So, yeah. Chelsea's the only one not related to the rest of these. She's by herself. And she's single and likes long walks on the beach. So. And especially in Uganda. I think she has a proposal waiting for her over there. So, yeah, you didn't know I knew about that. I didn't bring that up in the first service. I knew we couldn't go there. Tell us just kind of, you know, some of the stuff that kind of coming off this trip, the reason that you guys went was so that we could have a better understanding of how 24 could come alongside of James, who is the guy who basically helped start this school and runs the school and the orphanage and all that. Tell us kind of coming off of that, you know, just beginning this morning about, you know, James and Fred had a message they wanted to give to us, and you can start from there and go on.
Yeah, I asked them one night, you know, do you have a message for us to share when we get back to the church? And it was Fred, actually. He was our driver while we were there the whole time, so he was with us every day. He's awesome. And his message was, thank them endlessly, so he thanks you. And he said, keep praying for them. And he said, come visit us. And they mean it. Like, they kept telling us, you're home. This is Africa. You're home. Welcome to Uganda. Your new home. And they really, it meant the world to them. One guy at the church said he wanted to lock us in a cage and keep us there. So, which would have been creepy, except I knew his heart was pure. And I just want to say we would be remiss if the five of us didn't thank you as well for getting us there, because it was unbelievable. So what else?
Tell us, you know, for you guys, what was important for you guys to go over? Why go? You know, why for you guys? Why did you feel the Lord leading you to go?
Sure. Okay. So a simple answer would be, God leads me to different people daily in my life since I've come to know Christ. And he led me to Haiti last year, and it was very hot, and I had no intentions of going somewhere hot. If you know me, I don't like hot weather. But I had the mindset that he was going to lead me long-term there, and I would be a missionary long-term in Haiti. But when he sent me over and over again, Uganda, 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 little 12-year-old me was like, yay, I finally get to go to Africa. But why? Why do you want me to go to Africa, God? But when he sent me there, it was all of the immediate relationships that we formed with the chosen school, with the director, with the kids, with the teachers, that you could see God all over it. And I knew I was where I was supposed to be. So,
in first service, I just said that because we were invited, James invited us over to his home and wanted to share with us his mission of the chosen school. And I can tell, definitely being there, meeting him, he is definitely a man of God, and his invitation was from God. It wasn't just from him.
And And I just want to share. James had us meet with him almost every morning and every evening for devotion. And, you know, I think I kind of took it for granted when we were there, but it was later I was sharing with my prayer partners one morning. When they open their Bible and pray, I mean, it is the same Word of God. It is the same God. And that was just really comforting. And then looking back on it, like, wow, God is so faithful. I mean, there's no cultural difference when it gets to God. You know, He is who He is, who He is, no matter where you are. It's really cool.
Tell us kind of, I know that there's like this one big thing you felt like God impressed upon you to come back and share about.
So we went kind of knowing that we were scouts in a way. This was a first trip, and we were going to find out what we could do as a church. So because of the time difference during the night, I would lay awake. I would sleep for a little while and then wake up because it was like 6 p.m. here and I was ready for dinner. And you know, so I would talk to God, and I was asking Him one night, morning, whatever, like, okay, so why are we here? Because the experience at that point had been really overwhelming. It just everything needs help. The roads need help, the buildings. I mean, just everything. You can't really even imagine it. And then as we met some of the people, some of the kids, there was one kid, Francis. We have a picture of him maybe. But when, that's a memorable kid when you see that picture. So when we saw him in person, I was like, I know you. And I kind of freaked him out because he's like, I don't know you, Abazoo. They called us Bazoo, white people. But anyway, you know, I'm like, I know you. And so the second day we were at the school, he was in the school office, which was just a little shed that they would open the doors, and there was a chair, and he was shaking, feverish. He couldn't even look at me. And, you know, I was asking the teachers, like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, we have a cab coming for him, which is basically a motorbike. And they thought maybe he had malaria. So, you know, in that moment, it's, you know, it's heartbreaking, and it's so different. And not even knowing if he has a family to go home to or where he's going. But God, like, carried us through. You know, we didn't break down and cry every day like you think you might, which was totally a supernatural thing. And then there was, oh, and by the way, he's okay. He got back to school a few days later. And then there was this boy we met at the high school that he just really latched onto Bruce and held his hand the whole time they were talking. And it wasn't until we were at the airport leaving Africa that Bruce told me that he's a true orphan, no mother, no father. And, you know, whatever had kept me from breaking down that whole almost 2 weeks, like, that was it. At the airport, I lost it. Like, knowing that as excited as he was to meet us, he couldn't go home and be like, hey, Mom, Dad, these Americans came to our school. And, you know, I don't know where he went after school, you know, or who he hangs with. So that was interesting. And then there was a little girl, Nantiza. A week before we went, her mom is a teacher at the school, and she had died from HIV/AIDS. And so Nantiza is now a true orphan at the school, so James and the teachers are taking care of her. And so laying in bed that night, thinking about all this and, you know, multiply that, there's 150 kids there now. Like, we can't take care of all these kids. And God just really impressed on me, take care of James and the teachers, because they're the ones he's called. You know, they're already there shepherding this flock, so to speak. And there's the teachers. They're amazing people. So I really feel like we're called to support them, to do the work with these kids, that they're on the ground right there with them. And in that, it was really kind of strange to be on the other side of the world, praying about this, and God put Building One just like popping in my head. I almost wanted to text you that night, and I thought, no, I'll share it with him in person. But, you know, these guys are called in a way that I don't think we can truly appreciate. Even just sitting up here this morning, I'm like, I don't know how he does this every week. I couldn't sleep last night. I was nervous. I got all these notes, you know. And this is a true calling, and we need to support them. You know, these teachers, they want desks, and they don't even have a place to grade papers. These guys work from a couch in the lobby. And, you know, by Ugandan standards, it's great, awesome. They've got a roof and walls and a couch. But this isn't Uganda. And we know that there's growth coming to this area. They know it better than we do, which is a blessing that we have pastors with vision like that. And so for whatever reason, God laid that really heavy on my heart. And they did not put me up to it. they can thank me later, but but really, we need to
make sure you
them.
Get your building one envelopes on your way out.
They're I did put all, some out
yeah,
on our
so
table.
Did you?
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the numbers of kids here. I know you talked a little bit about the numbers of kids. I know you wanted to share that verse from Peter.
Oh yeah, I have a good verse.
Am I getting you out of order?
A little bit.
I thought that was that's the order you gave it to me.
I know.
That's okay. We can come to it.
Second
we'll come.
Service is different than first service.
We'll come to it. Yeah, that's a shocker to you too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like
first
I'm throwing stuff at them. They're like, we didn't do that the first time, you know. So.
Oh yeah, it was Hebrews 13:17.
That's what it was. Yes.
To share with all of us, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So that's our call to support them, and then. Even more, oh, wow, you got it on a slide. Nice work.
I was ahead of you.
Oh, that's awesome. Anyway. Oh, no, yeah, it's a god thing. Anyway, yeah.
it's magic.
Oh, numbers. You want me to talk numbers?
We'll come back to that. We'll come back to that. Chelsea, I want you to share about relationships that you formed with some of the locals that really you feel like were God moments that were impressed upon you. I know you wanted to share about.
Okay, so when we first got there, we had intentions of making tie-dye shirts with the kids. We took other shirts for them to have too, but this was a way to interact with them since they don't really speak very good English. The teachers would help us with that, but Bruce did an awesome job at getting their names enough that you could write it on the little back of your neck. And while he was doing that, as soon as one of the little girls walked in, she would be the equivalent of sixth grade here, which is as high as they go at Chosen. She came in, and we immediately locked eyes. I had no idea why this girl seemed so important to me at that moment, but I could not stop looking at her. She could not stop looking at me. And when we finally would get done putting the names on the back, me and Nancy would go to tie-dye them, so we'd pick up a shirt, and I said, Susan? And she raised her hand, and she's like, oh, that's me? And I was like, that's my mom's name. Like, what is that? So immediately from that point on, it's like I knew she was my sister in Christ. And the whole time I was there, we grew really close together. And I know that when I go back, I will see her. And I know that she prays for me as much as I pray for her, because it was like a best friend was formed exactly when I met her. But even more than her, before we even went to Africa, this weird person kept messaging me over Facebook. And I wasn't sure if I should respond because some random person living in Africa is messaging me over Facebook. But I was like, I'll pray about it. I'll see what God has to say about it. So I didn't feel anything weird about it, so I kept up the conversation. And I was actually gone running around with James that morning before Bruce preached, and I didn't know he was there yet. But Papa Ipa is a real person, and he's right in that picture back behind me. But as soon as he came up to me, he said, from the moment you responded back to me on Facebook, me and my wife knew you are our sister in Christ. We knew you would be here. We knew you would be here long term one day. And that overwhelmed me because I knew then I'm doing what God wants me to do. This is it. This is the relationship I was supposed to form. And like Chris said, he will lead you directly to the people he has called you to. You just have to be faithful to it sometimes, even if it comes from weird messages over Facebook.
Bruce, why don't you share with us? Share with us some of your takeaway of just kind of being there and the difference in cultures and, you know, some of that kind of stuff. God's impressed some stuff on your heart about that.
One of the interesting things about being there was that it kind of hit me toward the end of the trip that the kids there have no electronic media. They have no electricity. They don't have any refrigerators at their house to, you know, store food or anything like that. So every day is kind of the struggle to wake up, eat, and find food and do their schoolwork and things like that. It was enlightening to see the culture of the children, because they really only have each other. They don't really have a place to go to their room and get on a computer or play Nintendo or Game Boy or anything like that. They don't have any of that. They never have. So when you see them and they're talking to each other and they're poking each other and having fun with each other, it's just a complete cultural change to actually see it in person of how they actually really enjoy their relationships with each other. And that's really the only thing that they have. Well, the other thing I'm just going to talk about. I knew what I was going to say in first service, and I said it just fine. But
I personally was just—I could tell. Like one of, you know, we've talked about this since the trip. One of the things that God just really worked on Bruce's heart about was just kind of this whole idea that we have so much, they have so little, and yet they're satisfied with that. Is that not sound? That's the opposite of us. We're not satisfied. We constantly think we need more. We constantly think we need to work more. We constantly, on and on and on. You know, and I'm guilty of these things too. And just to hear you guys come back and say, they're happy. They're happy with what they have.
That was the piece I forgot. The other takeaway was, if you look at all the media you see on TV of the starving children of Africa, their, you know, their skin's hanging off their bones and all that. If you look at the pictures that we had here, they're skinny, they're hungry, they only eat porridge and stuff each day, twice a day. But they're not the bleeding heart. We want to take this to the American people and make them feel so guilty that we have so much. They don't really look like that, not the people that we met. They're just hardworking, normal people. So one of the things I wanted to impress on you guys is, if you're looking to support Chosen Ministries and the children, don't look at it as bleeding heart, oh my gosh, they don't have what we have and it's terrible and it's awful and I have to do something. Do it because you really want to do it and because God's put that in your heart to actually serve others and understand that they are real people. They're not just charity cases to throw money at. It's completely different than what media would push to you in that respect.
While we continue to talk, John, if you'll run that other video just in the background, no sound or anything, I think that would be awesome and fitting because I wanted to ask you guys, tell us a little bit about the current schoolroom situation and building and all that, and then kind of, you know, from there, you know, what they're looking toward.
Sure. Honestly, to call it a school, I when we first got back, I felt like I was air quoting everything because it's like we went to the school. You can't even take a picture of it because it's like a little shack here and a little lean-to over there. And, you know, you'll see in the video at one point we have to kind of walk around a tree that's like in this hallway. And so it's amazing what they're doing with what they have. And to know that what they have now, because of all of you guys, is better than what they had before because now they've got the desks. And some of the classrooms didn't have roofs, and now they do. But the new land that they were able to purchase from the art auction, it's sitting there right now because there's no money to build on it. But when they have that, because they own that, they'll be able to put in a well, which will eliminate the need to fill their water tank every month, I think. And actually, when we were there, it was dry season, and it was empty. So you got 150 kids and 10 teachers, and they don't have water. And they have, like, an outhouse. There were two of them, one for staff and one for the kids. So one little outhouse, no running water. And that's normal. You know, they're not freaked out by that or anything. But so on the new land, they'll have a place the kids can actually play outside. The teachers who now leave their families for 3 months at a time to live near that school and have to pay rent, they'll be able to live on that land and help take care of those orphans that will then be able to live. You know, right now the kids, there's 70 of the 150 kids who are true orphans, no mother, no father. They just go home with other people. You know, they live in houses nearby, just kind of hang out. And it's bizarre because that's just normal. Like when we were at James's house, all these kids just showed up out of nowhere. And, you know, I'm thinking, I'd be like, get off my lawn, kid. You know, and James is just laughing. And, you know, we started giving him toothbrushes. And, it's just a different culture. And it's like Bruce said, it's not the, oh, woe is me. And these are, like Nancy Wilson, when she was here, was talking about, these are world changers. I mean, these kids, they're on fire. So, you know, some of the older ones, that one that latched on to Bruce wants to be a pastor, so.
I didn't realize you would get angry if kids got on your lawn, huh? a side of you I hadn't seen before. Very Clint Eastwood of you. So. Tell us about the numbers. Tell us about the numbers of kids that we're looking at here.
Okay. When James, he was an orphan himself, which in their culture, if you're missing one of your parents, they consider that an orphan. So his father was not in the picture, and his mother was a school teacher. And now we know from experience that she might not have been around for months at a time. So he and his siblings were kids on the street like this. So he had met Nancy Wilson as a teenager, and she mentored him and helped support him to get a higher education. And so he felt a call about 3 or 4 years ago to start a school for these kids that would just be on the streets and getting yelled at by me. Like, get off my lawn. And so when he started, there were about 40 kids. And then when we were making plans to go, there were about 100 kids. And then when we were, like, packing and stuff, I would check, you know, I'm like, okay, so we're bringing like 100. He's like, oh, there's 120 kids now. When we got there, there were 150 kids. So we had overpacked and taken stuff for 130, and it ended up not being enough as far as doing the tie-dye shirts and stuff. So there is a huge need.
Tell us about the new land.
The new land, here's where we had to walk around the tree. This is their current situation. The new land's about a mile away. We were driving. The plan for the day was
this
to go.
This is the land that we helped buy through the art that was bought and given to.
And, there's a parcel next door to or attached to it that they really need to buy now before someone else does, because all their plans are contingent on having that extra piece, and it's $2,500. And so we got in the car. We were going to go see the new school, so we get to, I don't know where Fred stopped the van, and everybody get out, and then we all had to get a chair, and we're like, and it was raining, so we had the chairs over our heads, and we walked like a mile to this new location, and the roads are not roads. It's like bumpy, and there's like a goat here and a duck there, and here a goat, there a duck, and it was very different, and kids running around waving to us, and that's when we were walking. But this new land will alleviate so many of the current issues that they're dealing with.
You can't point to that one back there. They don't know that one exists.
Oh, secrets. There's
She's looking at video.
Stopwatch here too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's counting down too. Chelsea, tell us about needs, struggles with the chosen staff.
So there was a day that all of us went with the teachers, and there were a couple teachers that stayed behind with the kids that were left. But we went with them to eat at a restaurant. They had maybe 4 types of food, if that. And James was very, very serious about, I want the teachers to talk to you guys about their needs. I want you to hear it from them. Because it's not about what we want to give them or what we are willing to give them. It's about what they are in need of. So just in that time of listening to them, my mom and my grandmother at home have noticed that I've been spending a lot of time reading the same passage out of the Bible. And there for a while I was wondering, why am I reading this? Why am I not reading what I'm supposed to be reading? Because I'm reading through the whole Bible. I know that made no sense. But anyways, they know what I'm talking about. So it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The first part of the passage talks about spiritual gifts and talents that we have been given as children of Christ. You know, as brothers and sisters, we each have different talents, different things that he has bestowed upon us that maybe you can minister to different people than I could because you have a different talent than I do. And it made sense to me that all of these teachers at Chosen have different talents. They're all very different. But in that bottom part of the passage, it talks about how we are all part of the same body. There are many parts, but it's one body. And I was thinking about how the parts of the body at Chosen are struggling and how that essentially would mean that if something's wrong in your body, you're going to struggle. So all of us should be struggling and hurting for them because they're hurting. Because that's what brothers and sisters in Christ do. We rejoice with them when they are in their utmost. But when they're in their lows, we should be there for them. And it just hurt me to know that they have all these talents, but they can't use them because they don't have what they need yet. So I feel like that's one of the main things that pulled me to want to share with you guys why it's important that we go and pray. You don't have to give money, but they need your support.
Do we have the pictures of the new building? What it looks like? Kind of. Yeah, there it is. Part of this I think is really cool is that they didn't have actual drawings. He had sketches on a notepad that he showed to Bruce, and Bruce was like, you know, have you had anybody make actual drawings for you? And they said, no, you know, it costs money or whatever. Well, you know, Bruce was like, well, I can do that for you. So he came home and he made these drawings. If you'll notice, like the steps on the side of the one end, this building can only be built, you know, if they get the parcel of land that's next to the piece that they've already bought. They need that extra parcel so that the building can be long enough to have those steps on it. Otherwise, you know, they'll be, I guess, climbing ladders or something. So we want to try to help them do that. I know we had a little bit of money given even in the first service toward trying to get that piece of property. And we want to stick this out with these folks. This isn't something we just want to like do one little thing here or there. We want to try to help see this through. If you look in the classrooms, and I think we've got some pictures like of the drawings of the classrooms even from overhead. The classrooms, how big are those again? 20 by 15. So, you know, these are not really large rooms. That they're not asking for the Taj Mahal. You know, they're asking for just enough. And honestly, probably if I had to guess, by the time they get this thing built, they'll have more kids than probably what it can even hold. But which is just a testimony, I think, to what God's doing through James and through these teachers. And the fact that it is so important to them that they not just learn ABCs, but they're learning about Jesus. And these are, you know, half of these kids don't have parents. You know, I mean, this is just, to really think that through, those are very large statements. One of the things that I also love is that James has a vision for, they feel led that when the school is built, when they have a building to meet in, they feel like they're supposed to start a church there as well that will meet, they're basically wanting to plant a church alongside of doing all this other stuff that they're doing, which I think is amazing. And he's got a pastor friend, Charles, who's wanting to work with them to do that. It's not just some kind of loosey-goosey thing. That's an actual plan. So there are some ways that financially we can be a part of this. And you guys, I know, have brought some things today that you got for sale out there at the table. Every dime of everything being given toward that is going to go to James and to the Chosen School and all that. So if you get a chance and you can grab any of that, that would be awesome. And they've got some of that is art, and a lot of that was made by all of it. Was made by, tell us about who it was made by.
Fred, our driver, he has four children, and his son, Joshua, he's a college-age student. He made all the necklaces and stuff that we have out there. I think the first service got a lot of it, but we'll try to get more.
Okay, very cool. You know, if you have interest in maybe thinking about and praying about, you know, I mean, you know, I know my family has done, I can't even think of it right now. The Compassion International, you know, kind of deal where we've had a child that we've been sponsoring for years. We actually just recently got a letter saying that something's going on there, and where that city is, where that child is, they're not going to be able to work with them, at least not the way it's looking, because of some political things or whatever. You know, maybe you might pray about, you know, what could we give like a month just off to the side, something extra just to this. You can write Chosen School on any check, any envelope, anything given that's going to go to them. We're not going to do anything with it. It's going to go straight to them. If God leads you in doing something like that, that'd be awesome. And obviously, you can talk to them more. I'm sure that they could even get more art pieces from even the kids. We had many of the kids with pictures for people that they could kind of adopt, so to speak, from here, you know, to pray for and some of that kind of stuff. We could get more of that stuff, I'm sure. So just talk to Nancy, talk to Bruce, get them your information if you want to get involved with something like that too. That would be amazing. Thank you guys so much for your time today. We really, really appreciate it. And this is something that James wanted to give to us, right?
Yes.
I'm seriously surprised it doesn't have giraffes on it. After Penny We do conference calls with them on the phone, which is really hard to understand them. And in the middle of these conference calls, Penny would be like, "What about your giraffe?" And we'd be like, "Oh, here we go," you know, and just, but yeah, so.
I even emailed James and said, I'm like, "Penny's kind of a jokester clown." Like, I didn't know how to translate it. And James is like, the email said, "Oh," like all these O's. "Oh, I was wondering."
I'll read it to you. It says, "To the lovely brethren of 24 Church, know ye therefore that as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about you from henceforth, even forever." Psalm 125, 2. So, awesome stuff. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. One of the things that they ask us to do, and I think is appropriate for us to do real quick, even before y'all take off, but we'll go ahead and pray. I want to pray for them. I'm not done yet, so don't go anywhere on me, okay? I want to take just a second. I want us to pray for James. I want us to pray for the school. That's always good for those. And just kind of give us a second together to kind of come around and ask God to continue to work there and to continue to lead us in what that looks like. Let's pray together. God, we come to you right now, and God, we ask, Lord, that you would be with James, that you would be with all of these teachers, with all of these people that are involved. God, I pray for this pastor, Charles. Lord, be with Fred. Be with all of these people, God, as you're using them and leading them to do a work that is about your kingdom. God, I pray, Lord, that you would give us an understanding and a vision, Lord, that is about your kingdom and not just about ours. God, help take that from us. Lord, that we would be focused on what you want and what you desire and how you could be glorified, not just here, but in the world. God, use us to be light. Lord, help us to know what it looks like to partner with them. God and Lord, today, I just pray, Lord, that you would just be with them. Be with those children as they care for these kids, as they're teaching them. Lord, work through them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, do an amazing work, Lord, through these folks. God, thank you for their willingness to serve. And God, we love you and we thank you. We can ask this in your son's name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank y'all very much. I want to share a passage with you real quick. It's out of Matthew 28. I'm going to be very brief here. Matthew 28 is at the end of this passage. We have this section where this is after Jesus has been killed on the cross, and then he's come back to life. Okay, so we've got real zombie Jesus here. Okay, and he's not, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, here he is back from the dead, and he's come to say just a few more things, and he's instructing his disciples with these things. And many of you have probably heard this passage many times before, but I want you to just read it with me and just think about it for just a minute. Just kind of focus on it with me for a minute. Matthew 28, verse 16, and it says this. It says, Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The disciples had been with Jesus, and they had seen the crazy stuff. And here they are, he's come back from the dead. And what's it say? "And some doubted." You know? And we read that and we go, well, they're crazy. They've lost their mind. How in the world would they doubt, you know? And the truth is that, you know, that they were struggling just like we struggle to believe things that sometimes God might lead us to do or want us to do. And we don't really recognize, Lord, you know, that you're leading us to do something, to be called to a people. And you go back to that, just being called to a people and the people that God's put in your life. And yes, most or at least half of them are crazy, okay, or whatever it is. And at the end of the day, those are the people that God's put there for us. And we do the same thing with we doubt. And we go, God, surely to goodness, you really didn't want me to minister to these people. I mean, really, God, you want me to minister to those people over there because those people are just like me, and they look like me, and they have the same interests as me, and I can get along with them, and so on and so forth. Or we do the whole just like shut down, like, God, you can't have any of me. I'm not putting any time into anybody else's life. I got enough going on with me. I don't have time. And we worship ourselves when we do that. We worship us. And we worship our kingdom and our will be done, not God's will be done, you know? And Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And we get scared with words like that. We get scared. We hear things like, make disciples. Oh my gosh, that means I gotta whip out the Henry Blackaby, you know, or Beth Moore studies and start having regular Bible studies with people or whatever it is. And listen, that's a great thing. That can be a good part of making disciples. But let me help you to understand something. When we see Jesus making disciples, do you see what he did? He said, hey, you right there, come go with me. Come go with me. It's making disciples is based around the idea that we would bring people with us in life. That we would bring them into our lives. You know how many people don't feel like that they really have a good family? Like people that they could really share their real struggles with and things. You realize how many people, I mean, think some of you are sitting here, you're going, well, you just talked about me and my family. I don't feel like I could go share my real struggles with my family. Do you realize that all of these people that God's putting in your life around you that you work with, play with, go to school with, or some of them related to, yeah, that too, that they feel what you feel and they need people that they know just love them. It says, make disciples of all nations. All nations. We've been called to do this far and wide. That to me, honestly, is hard. As a pastor of a church, like for years I've struggled with like, God, what does that even look like? Like I feel like we're flailing like, you know, fish on the shore or something over here. Sometimes it's like, how we can't get our own junk together. How are we supposed to help somebody else, you know? But the truth is that we've been called to do it. And the truth is that God takes care of us and he is faithful to us when we are faithful to his call. Folks, look around. Look around. What you see right here, right now, is proof of God's faithfulness. The people that are gathered in this room right now is proof of God's faithfulness. 12 and a half, 13, 14 years ago, whatever, when God started to speak into the hearts of a couple of people about starting a church here. You know what the argument was? I heard it. I got to hear it because I was one of those people. Do we really need another church here? What do you think? Did we need a church here? Yeah. Guess what? They probably need one in Uganda too. We're working on trying to plant one in Sango. We got a new church planter. Nothing even to do with that deal. I've been meeting with pastors for several months about that deal. Got another deal where we've got a young church planter and his wife who are actually going to be spending the next 6 months to a year with us praying about the church that they're going to be starting in Nashville. You see, this isn't about the kingdom of 24 Church. This is about the kingdom of God. This is about understanding that 70 orphans who have no parents, we have an opportunity to teach them the gospel by supporting people like James and those teachers. What an awesome opportunity for us. To just get to be a part of that is amazing. But folks, let me just tell you this. That's Uganda. You know what's happening right here? You know what's happening right here? It's the boom. The boom and the boom is coming. And if you don't think it is, you are in denial. the growth patterns of what's happening with Nashville, I have people suddenly talking to me that wouldn't talk to me about Pleasant View and Jolton and Coopertown and all these areas. They wouldn't talk about that years ago. Now they're talking to me. And they're saying, you're up there, your church is up that way. And it, what, you know, we've been looking, you wouldn't believe how many people have messaged me in just the last few weeks alone, like, hey, we're thinking about moving your direction. When we started this church, it was based on two things. God needs to be glorified through the teaching of His Word and a body of believers to be faithful to Him. But number two is this, people need Jesus. People need Jesus. And folks, people are about to move here that have never lived here, and they need Jesus. Our church is going to grow. It's probably going to cause some change. It's going to make us have to rethink. You know what it's going to do? It's going to make us go back and go, you know what? Why, what does it mean for me? Who are the people I'm called to? What is my calling? Here it is. You ready for it? That we, it hasn't changed, that we would be missionaries right here. And God's going to lead some of us to go be missionaries other places too, and that's great. And we want to be a part of that. We want to be faithful there. We're going to plant new churches. But folks, I'm just telling you, what's coming for us are things that we need to be praying about. I prayed this morning, God, bring people to be a part of worship with us that could hear the gospel, that their lives might be changed. Would you pray that prayer with me? Would you begin to think about, maybe on your ride in on a Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, what if every Sunday morning a whole church, a whole group, a whole body of people begin to pray, God, lead people to us that need you and that we may show them who you are. You don't think God wouldn't answer that prayer? You better hold on. And God will start changing hearts. He'll start changing your heart. All of a sudden, you'll go from being one of those people like, you know, I'm just going to church. I'm not going to try to serve 1 hour and then go to church 1 hour. It's just too much going on. We just got too much going on. Well, yeah, you do. You're too busy for the Lord and what He's calling you to do. Because He's called us to be a part of His church, which is a part of His mission. And like it or not, one of the greatest opportunities we have to minister to people is Sunday mornings. Whether we want it to be that way or not, and we want to be a church that's not just about Sunday mornings. We want to be a church that's about, you know, community during the week and meeting and being the church during the week with one another and doing that Acts 2 stuff, micro church, small group kind of stuff, whatever. But folks, I'm going to tell you, God's going to start changing your heart. And all of a sudden you're going to go, you know what? I'm praying for these people that God's going to bring to be a part of our church. I need to be there waiting on them to minister to them. What's that look like for me and my family? You're going to start looking at where you park differently. You're going to start thinking, you know what? Maybe I should park over at City Hall. Maybe I should give a space up front to that person that's just not even sure whether or not they even want to walk in the door of a church building. So that when they drive through the parking lot and it's full because there's going to be too many people here, that they don't go, you know what, let's just go on somewhere. Let's just go get something to eat. Let's just don't even worry about it and miss it altogether. People do that, by the way. We've proven that. He says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Folks, we don't want to just lead people to Jesus. We want to make disciples of Him. And that means that we got to get our hands dirty. That means we got to say, you know what? Come go with me. Come go with me. I got to do a job. Come go with me. I got to go pick up the kids. Come go with me. I got to go get some stuff at Lowe's, come go with me, right? That's what we do. That's what we do, and that's where it starts. And it's in the small conversations where we begin to share what God's done in our life and the great things that we've seen Him done and the faithfulness that He has shown us, even as a church who used to meet in a school who probably should have died within the first couple of years, but God had a plan bigger than us. That even when we've made boneheaded decisions along the way, he's protected it because it is for his glory. People still need Jesus. And there's more coming here, and it sounds like there's more going to be more in Uganda. We've all been called to do it together. Let me tell you what, that's an exciting place to be. That's a really exciting place to be. And a lot of people I know probably feel like, you know, man, it's really the boom, man, it's great, it's finally coming. That's going to be good for business. It is good for business. But let me tell you what, better than it being good for business, it could be, and I believe that it can be and it will be, good for the kingdom. God's called us to a business. And it's loving him and loving people and living out the gospel and making disciples. Will you pray those things with me? Can we go there together? Can we do this together? That's going to scare some of you. I know it is. Because a lot of folks just like to come and sit. I get it. I like to be lazy too. You go like, man, the preacher just called me lazy. If it fits, put it on. I don't care. Whatever. You know? We've been called to a people. We're called to be missionaries, every one of us. Here's the truth, is there's somebody sitting here right now who has never trusted in Jesus to be their Savior. And you're hearing all this stuff, and you're hearing from all these people, and you're like, why in the world would they raise all this money, go halfway around the world to go just spend some time with these people at this school and orphanage? I mean, what they made tie-dye shirts? What good are they doing that? There's a spiritual element to our lives that if you don't know Jesus, you don't understand. But I'm here to tell you something. You can understand it, and he wants you to understand it. And the premise and the basic of it is this. We're sinners. We need a Savior. God sent his son Jesus to be the one, to be the only one who could ever be that Savior, that if we trust in him, that his death takes the place of our sin. And we can be forgiven, and we can learn what it's like to really love and live this life with a purpose. Our purpose. Glorifying him in all that we do. Making him famous in all that we do. This morning I'm praying that if you're one of those people today, that you would listen to that. He's given us a calling. We're going to hear from somebody else next weekend who's also been given a calling. This young church planter I was talking about and his wife. Let's pray together.